Hey, Pete.
Hey, man. Pop and lock. Pop and lock. Pop and lock.
I'm Adam Maness.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear It podcast.
Daily jazz advice coming at ya.
We're not a breakdancing podcast?
No. I don't even know if many of our listeners know. Well, yeah, we have some mature aged listeners like we are to remember the days of breakdancing.
That's right.
You youngins, YouTube it.
Today's episode of the You'll Hear podcast is brought to you by the Oxford American. Please go to oxfordamerican.org/YHI for some great deals on one of the finest Southern literary magazines there is. So many great articles about cultural icons that touch us every day here on this podcast that are influences for all jazz musicians. Check it out. That's oxfordamerican.org/YHI for $25 for annual subscription.
Not bad. And just a little clarification. A lot of people, when I'm talking about the Oxford American and my passion for it and their sponsorship, think, oh, is that Oxford, Mississippi? It is not. A little confusing because that's another great literary southern town.
Yeah, it's Oxford, England.
It's well, yeah, exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
It's in, they're out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Which is another great southern city, and they have a wonderful live venue called a restaurant and venue called South on Main. I would encourage anyone in the Little Rock area to check in on that.
You played down there, right?
I played down there, yeah, a couple times.
Cool. You're playing down there soon, right?
I think so. Yeah. September, maybe.
September. Yeah. Cool. We have a speak pipe today from JD. Hey, if you want to ask us a question, we are putting out the call for speak pipes. We're challenging you to leave us a speak pipe question. We want to answer it.
We do, although we're not as desperate as we were last week because we've had so many come in now. We might even be getting picky.
No, let's not. Let's keep it rolling.
No, keep it rolling.
For sure.
But we can't prompt. Like before, we were like.
You're definitely getting on.
Except that one off. That one was whack. Remember a few months.
Yeah, if you send anything slightly racist, we're not going to put it on.
Yeah,
at all.
Not even slightly. Yeah. Anyway, let's listen today.
Hey, Adam, Peter, thanks for all you guys do. Love listening to your podcast and all the great advice you guys have. My question's around soloing with maybe like pop music. I find sometimes with like jazz, R&B, kind of that style, you know, having those seventh chords, those extra colors, it's a little easier to kind of come up with ideas, but sometimes get stuck when it's just, you know, your basic 1-4-5 minor six triad kind of deal in a pop setting. I think of like guys like Jamie Cullum or something that that kind of take those that pop sound and kind of add a little bit more color and a little bit out, but not so much that they lose the feel of maybe that style. Just wondering if you guys have any tips or tricks for just kind of playing over those basic triad chords. So anyways, love to hear from you. Thanks again for all you guys do. Appreciate it.
This is an actual question that I don't think we've ever addressed, and it's a great question.
I don't think so. And look, since we're getting close to lunch now anyway, we want to go eat, and this is about pop music, it's going to be short and sweet, baby, okay? Mm-hmm.
I love to do this, man. I do this all the time in the music I play.
Yeah.
To play over triadic stuff.
Yeah, but you also, you'll take some simple pop tunes, very simple harmonically, and put a nice little Adam Maness arrangement on them, and they kind of become a little bit more complex.
That's definitely one thing you can do.
Yeah.
Is you can, not jazzify, I want to say, but you can make them more improviser-friendly.
Right.
The pop changes.
Yeah.
It depends on what kind of sound you want.
Right.
But I think for JD's question here, there are some ways to solo on just like straight-ahead pop triads. I hear you do this with Diane Reeves all the time, mm-hmm. too. You guys have a couple of tunes that are like really pop tunes.
Yeah. And pop, R&B, real like folk.
Yeah, I had to do this in Aaron Brody's band for years and years.
Yeah,
and
it's hard.
It's a skill that you have to practice.
A lot of jazz players are just like, oh, that's beneath me because they can't do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Man, I have to say, one of my favorite musicians that I've ever worked with, and we did these things in Aaron's band, all these pop tunes, and he was incredible at it, was the great saxophonist Seamus Blake. Can play on triadic stuff like better than almost anybody I've ever heard. And you think of Seamus as this, like, you know, from the bebop tradition, but like a modern thing. But man, he has this lyrical sound. But that was the first thing that I think I thought of when I had to start learning how to do this, was kind of have to take bebop out of the equation a little bit.
It right.
doesn't quite work all the time.
Yeah, you get that big triad or two chord. You don't want to necessarily be bee-bee-doo, bee-bee-da.
Yeah, a lot of enclosures can sound weird.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, you know, major nine arpeggios are not going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the vocabulary. And really the challenge comes in, I think, that, you know, we always talk about melody, rhythm, and harmony as kind of being those most basic building blocks of our improvisation and really just music in general. But this kind of playing requires melody to become so much more important. And so especially a piano, which, you know, on its face can not be the most lyrical instrument. Like we can get away with things sometimes by really exploiting like the harmonic aspects of things.
Too much sometimes.
Yeah, and rhythm, and you know, it's a percussion instrument.
Totally.
But playing over very simple chords means you have to be super melodic. And so I would like actually think of somebody like Stevie Wonder,
yep,
the way that he improvises over his songs. Now, yeah, of course, his songs are very, you know, sophisticated harmonically in a way, but you can check out certain, like, Isn't She Lovely?
Mm-hmm.
Has some very, like, I don't know. Well, that kind of goes some places harmonically.
You know who's the perfect person to check out for this, though? Keith Jarrett, but in the context of those vamps that
that's
he does.
Right.
They'll do those, like, 20-minute long at the
major
end
two-chord.
Of Autumn Leaves vamps. Yeah,
yeah.
And he can go on those two chords forever,
right.
Usually triadic. You know, maybe it's some kind of seventh, but it's never, like, changey. You know what I mean? It's all very in the pocket. And he is so good at developing melodies on the piano like
and
that.
And if you think about it, what he's doing a lot of times in those vamps, I mean, there's a number of different ways he's done them, but I think I'm thinking of the same kind of ones you're thinking of. Is like really concise and beautiful, well-crafted melodies, but like serious attention to rhythm and groove,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like the harmony is not really, I mean, it is what it is for that vamp, but it's not as adventurous really. It's really about the melody and the rhythm. And so the lyricism comes out and then he also exploits a number of other things that he's just a master of in terms of sound and touch and dynamics and beauty and all that kind of thing too. But it's like having that confidence to just go, you know, just play on that triad. And then, you know, he uses a lot of, you know, 1-2-3-5, like
1-2-3-5. That's my pop thing.
Come on
too.
Now.
That's the go-to.
And maybe a little 1-3-4-5. You can throw
1-3-4-5. Absolutely. Yeah.
And a lot of 4-3-4, you know, 1. And I mean, so having the confidence to be like, take those more basic elements when you don't have the seventh and the 11th arpeggios and up to the sharp and the extensions and all that, to really hear. And I know we get into some controversial area every time we talk about hearing something and what does that mean. But I mean, to hear a simple melody and just to simply state it, it's kind of like when you're having a conversation with someone that's not just a child where you're talking down to them, but you're going to say, I'm not going to use. And I know I've been I heard you guys making fun of me trying to use big words around the office lately. That's okay, though. Little catchphrases and stuff. That's all right. I got you. I'm going to get didactic on you. But it's like we're having a conversation and I'm going to commit to use very simple words, but to convey a sophisticated thought or emotion. And I think that's what, you're right, Keith Jarrett. I think Stevie Wonder, I just hadn't thought of the right. No, actually, Isn't She Lovely? I'm thinking of like his harmonica solo. Of course, there's so much emotion you can put through that instrument. But a lot of his, you know, key solos, I mean, he can go, you know, crazy on the changes too, but he's very interesting improviser, Stevie Wonder, like Keith Jarrett in a lot of ways, you know.
There are three players that, for me, I'm thinking of right now as we're talking about this that come to mind that are just masters of this. Two of them are jazz musicians, and one is totally out of left field. But
let me guess. Are these ones we always talk about on this show?
No, actually.
Oh, okay, good.
The first is someone we talk about a lot, but I don't usually talk about. But I'm thinking of Kenny Kirkland when he played with Sting specifically.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some great piano solos over not really changey things. I mean, there's some seventh chords, but it's not like playing changes.
Right. Now, he was exploiting rhythm.
He was like, definitely. That's,
you know,
from
I mean,
that
melody
angle.
For sure, but it's like when he could be so sophisticated harmonically, but when it called for that really basic thing, his rhythmic thing was, and especially like between the two hands and stuff and the interplay, he really went there.
The second is Brad Mehldau,
yes.
Especially on an album like Largo.
Yeah.
You know, that first track, When It Rains, is a lot of triadic concepts. I mean, it's not, there are seventh chords for sure, but it's not like changey. It's not like 1-6-2-5s, and he is really playing in a language that's more on the pop side than like a beboppy side.
So that's When It Rains, not to be confused with your unpublished, undocumented Make It Rain, that little blues that
Make
you wrote
rain.
There. Okay, sorry.
A couple of other people that you might check out on this, man, have you ever heard of this dobro player, Jerry Douglas?
Oh, Jerry, of course.
Dude.
Heard of this guy. Yeah, man.
He's one of the
master.
Best musicians I've ever heard
and
plays such simple sounding language, but in a way and with a feeling that is so beautiful and melodic and just gets me every time. Check out anything Jerry Douglas has ever done. It's bluegrassy. I mean, he's made bluegrass, but he's also done things like, you know, with Edgar Meyer and things like that. I mean, Edgar Meyer is someone, too, that you could actually check out.
Douglas has an advantage, though, because the dobro as an instrument, it's actually in 40, I don't know if you knew this, 47 out of 50 states, it's illegal to play bebop on a dobro.
It's impossible.
It's against state regulations.
It's also such an expressive instrument, let's be honest.
It is.
Another person is Chris Thiele, the mandolinist. Yep. I mean, also, he heavily relies on rhythm, big time. But all of that Punch Brothers stuff is, you know, triadic-based soloing, and there's all of those guys are
one more guy,
super heavyweights at that.
Absolutely. One more guy I would mention that's a master. This is Charlie Park. Oh, no, I guess not. No, that's something different.
Fairly beboppy. Fairly beboppy, I think.
Kirk Whalum. Now, you can play a bunch of notes and still stay within that.
David Sanborn.
Yeah. There you go.
I see where we're going now. I'm liking this.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Kenny G. Okay, no, sorry. Whoa, sorry. Didn't mean to go down.
Robert Glasper also comes to mind.
Yeah. But yeah, this is cool, man. Thank you, JD, for the question. Interesting area that we haven't gone too much.
Very cool.
We got a special ultimate tip for you coming up very shortly, because we're going to get out of here in a second. Tell them about our sponsor.
Go to oxfordamerican.org/YHI for a $25 annual subscription to the Oxford American. You're going to get amazing articles about Southern culture. You're going to get incredible writers writing stories about musicians and cultural icons that you're going to want to know more about. You're going to get incredible poetry to just enrich what you are probably already interested in. So again, that's oxfordamerican.org/YHI.
And you know, if you live close to the South as we do, well, it doesn't matter where you live, because you can travel anywhere in the world now, apparently. But the great thing about Oxford, every time I read it or look at it, it's like a travel brochure. It makes me want to go to these places, you know?
Yeah.
The Georgia one with James Brown and stuff. It's like, I mean, I've been to Georgia and Atlanta so many times, the airport, but Savannah and like the different parts, but Albany. I mean, it's just, it makes you, because it really brings out the best of these places and, you know, this amazing culture that sprung forth from the South. Really, an outsized amount of culture has come from these Southern states. It's pretty amazing. I mean, obviously music, but writing.
People all over the world are copycatting Southern culture the time.
Right.
All right, so what's our ultimate tip?
So the ultimate tip is to be able to, you know, we're talking about playing over pop changes, pop tunes, is transcribe pop tunes, okay? So this will kind of like reverse engineer a little bit of developing your ears in a way that'll help for this and just a number of different things. And this is something I used to do, and I kind of said, you know, even if you're ashamed that people know that you like them, you know, if it's a little bit of, I don't know, it could be anything catchy that you think is too simplistic or not worth your time, but you're still developing your ears and it's going to attune you a little bit. So it could be anything you're hearing on the radio or YouTube or whatever that you kind of like. It's always fun to transcribe stuff you like. We are giving you license to put aside that Charlie Parker solo for a little bit to transcribe a pop tune. And once you do...
Well, hold on. Before we end this episode, we do have a listener tune. This is Traveling at Night by Burke Ingrafia.
Nice. That's going to ride us out.
Check it out and you'll hear it.
The sky gets blue on a sunny day. And even I sometimes feel that way. I don't put my trust in the visible light. Thieves and the scoundrels come out of the wood. Just don't let them guess that you're good. Don't let them guess that you're good.